Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I do thank you, Father God, that you did tell us to celebrate Christmas this whole month of December and to really enjoy ourselves. I thank you, Father, that you're with us. You're for us and not against us. And that every word that you speak is yes and is amen. And Father, be with us this night. Change, rearrange. Complete the works you started. Reveal yourself to us, Father, in a way you've never revealed yourself before. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Son Jesus, your angelic host. We just thank you, Father God, for all the Godhead. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God, you know, I've been wondering why the glory hasn't dropped and wondering why just this and that and the other is going on. And God said, my church is just like the Israelite children. They're still wandering in the desert. He said, I already meant for the glory to be dropped. I already meant for the harvest to be brought in. And I already meant for the miracles to be happening. But he said, my children are just wandering in doubt and unbelief. You know what? The children, Israelite children, should have been a 1 week's journey. End up 40 years. And he said, well, how he started was, he said, the last decade, the church has been wandering in the wilderness. Are you tired of going around the mountain? Are you tired of wandering in the wilderness? Are you really ready to give in, give up? And let's just get off this merry-go-round that we're on, and let's just watch God do the great and mighty miracles that he wants to do. Just us getting off the merry-go-round would be the first miracle, right? I'm not hurrying God. The Holy Spirit's trying to do something right now. We're just going to let him do it. You know, your belief, your faith is not where it should be. It's not high enough. It really is not high enough. And we need to really work on our faith and get it high where the enemy can't steal it in any way, shape, or form. We say that we believe, but God said we really don't believe. We still have a lot of lip service and not really heart service to God. Holy Spirit, I thank you and I praise you. You have full reign in this service tonight. We wait upon you right now. We have no place to go but up, Holy Spirit. And we want you to transform us. Lead, guide, and direct us as Jesus said you would. And we just thank you for it. You know, there's just in the body of Christ, there's it's too many who think they know it all and they don't know anything. But they act like they know it all, and they go around and they just keep doing things out of their flesh. And it's not of the Spirit. And we are destroying others around about us, you know. We really need to be walking in the Spirit. You know, in my home, they've had to live with me all their life, you know. And sometimes, you know, you think, well, they're not paying no attention, but yesterday somebody said, everything you say that God said always comes true. And I've had two people now in my family come to me and say, could you please seek God's face because I want to do this or that, and I want to know, should I do it? You know, and that's put a whole new perspective in my walk with God, because you think people aren't listening, they aren't watching. And I've taught you they are, and they really are. And, you know, and I always revert back to where Jesus couldn't do any good thing in his own hometown. But, you know, even though you think you're not doing any good thing in your home, you are. So I just really want you to be discouraged, even though you don't physically see with your eyes any changes. The changes are going on inside of the people's hearts. And one day they'll come to you and say, what does God have to say about this? And I really want to encourage you tonight to keep staying in the path God has chosen for you. Trust Him with all your heart. And don't compromise, not one bit. Okay? This past week, I was in my emotions. Have you ever done that? In my feelings, where you want to call it. I called Brother Chris and apologized to him as a pastor. I said, I'm in my feelings and what I'm teaching, I'm not living right now. And then I went downstairs to my family and I did the same thing to them. And they sat and looked at me with like, why are you doing this? And they said, well, you don't have to apologize to us. You have a right to have your feelings. And I said, yeah, I bet, you know, I teach that. And they said, we know what you teach. We know what you talk about. We know how you live. But everybody has a right to be in their feelings. But I didn't like being in my feelings. Have you ever been there? Yes. And you just don't, it's ugly, isn't it? You know, it's just really ugly. So I repented to God and I got out of my feelings, I think. No. I hope I don't have another outburst. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just sitting around crying. And you know how you do that. And you just think, God, I'm not doing anything good for you anywhere. And just emotions were running high. But Brother Chris called me and said, whenever I was he was working on something, he said God told him that I was like an eagle. I was in a molting season. And you get pretty ugly when you get, eagles look pretty ugly when they lose their feathers. And I said, well, hurry up, get the molting season over then. But you know, if we're honest with God and with man, God will see you through. See, people in the church, how many of you, when you first got saved, you just thought, well, I'll just say Benny, and you thought he was God himself. You know, you looked at him with such awe and, you know, Catherine Coleman and, you know, and the others. And then one day I realized they're not God. They're just like you and I, you know, and they have flaws too. But then that sort of burst my bubble about what church is all about. But, you know, we walk through that, right? So there's only one person we should look up to, and that's the Father. And He's the same every day, just on every now and then. So if people are looking up to you, tell them, don't look to me, because I'll get into my feelings and I'll disappoint you. But, you know, when you're in your feelings, I don't know why I'm saying all this. It's just where God must be right now. When you're in your feelings, you're surprised. You get surprised at how people, what they say to you when you're in your feelings. I have this person help me clean house, and they've known me for years, and they sit down and talk to me. They didn't know I was in my feelings. And they'll never know how they lifted me up by what they said. You know, and they said, there's one thing I've learned watching you over these years is that you can come through anything if you're strong enough. So this person said, you have encouraged me so much each time I see you, knowing what you're going through and how you keep on going. So you are a strong tower to somebody, whether you know it or not. You know, you really are. Each one of you sitting here, you really are a strong tower. Somebody is watching you, and you're causing them to either go the right way or go the wrong way. All right? And I had two other people. I told them I was in my feelings with them. And they said, you'll never know how you brought us through some really trying times. What you taught us years ago, how you brought us through trying times. And now, since we're talking to you again, you've caused us to think differently about doing any type of drugs. We'll never do drugs in our life, and we won't start smoking either. But they were contemplating it whenever they started talking to me again. Are you understanding this? And they said, you're always the same. You don't waver in what you believe in. And that's caused them now to be stronger men. And they'll be able to go out there and bring other men into the body. What I guess I'm saying is, because I hear this, the years that you spent are not wasted. When you thought you weren't doing any good, they weren't wasted. God was working behind the scenes with many, many people in your life. People that you never talked to and never thought you. In fact, one guy came. We had a lot of visitors this week. One guy came and he said, "You don't know me." Oh, an older man. He said, "But I know you. I've seen you around." You know, he's been to my house and I didn't know that either. And he says, "I've watched you and you caused me to turn my life around." I never said a word to this person. I didn't meet him till Saturday. So see, you don't know. I'm just trying to tell you, you don't know. Stay strong. And if you have to cry, cry. I'm quite sure when Jesus went to the mountain, he went up there and beat on the rock sometimes. He was so exasperated. I'm quite sure he did. He was human. And you read the word, he got upset, didn't he? Come on. So just quit trying to be God. And you're a strong pillar even when you're in your emotions. And God will always send somebody your way to encourage you and lift you up. You're never alone. You're never alone. Tonight, well, that's why the Holy Spirit, he needed me to say all that. So I hope to help with helping somebody. Tonight we're going to talk about the golden mitre. Let's go to Exodus 28:36-38. It says in Exodus 28:36, it says they took a golden mitre, a square golden mitre, and they wrote "Holy to the Lord" on it, and they put it over the forehead of the high priest. It was a square and it had that written on it, all right? God has been calling us as priests and kings, and he wants our minds to be given to him in holiness. Now, read that again. God has been calling us as priests and kings, and he wants our minds to be given to him in holiness. And gold always represents a pure mind. And that's why they wrote the sign and put it over the priest's forehead to let everybody know that they had a pure mind. Now, as we go through this small teaching, I want you to think, do I have a pure mind? Do I have a holy mind? And could this be the thing that's stopping me from going further in my walk with God? Romans 1:1-4 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So according to this scripture, the scholars say that it was the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead. All right. The Spirit of holiness. And what's God been trying to get us to walk in holiness, hasn't he? For years now. When I first started church, he had me put this picture up there. So from day one, he's been trying to get us to walk in holiness. And are you truly walking in holiness? Only you and God know that. You can put on a face for me and I'll believe you unless God says otherwise. And you can fool yourself. But God and you truly know the truth. All right, so I said, according to this scripture, Bible scholars say that it was the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead. If that is true, then we can say that holiness has resurrection power on it. All right, holiness has resurrection power on it. Jesus had a holy mind, and Satan could not keep him bound. Why? Because you can't bind holiness. You wonder why you still sin? You don't have a holy mind. And Satan can bind you. The Lord is our sanctifier. And John 17:19 says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus sanctified himself for you and I. We all know that Jesus was holy from the moment he was born to the moment he died. Come on. We all know that Jesus was holy from the moment he was born to the moment he died. Don't give me that story. He was the Son of God. He was flesh and blood, just like you and I. What I said to God one time, but God, he only had to spend 30 years. That didn't fly either. He's not going to accept our excuses, all right? Why did Jesus have to sanctify himself for us? His sanctification was obedience to the will of the Father. I am willing to go to the cross for them, is what Jesus said. I am sanctifying myself for their sake. See that? Now, this is why God is calling the body of Christ together. We are to sanctify our thoughts for the entire body's sake. Now, if you're claiming to be a servant of the Most High God, then you need to sanctify yourself and become holy, not just for you, but for everybody in the body of Christ. So God can send you forth to do the great and mighty works he's calling you forth to do. And I just heard God say, if you are willing and obedient, you too will eat the good of the land. In other words, if you're willing to sanctify yourself and become holy, then you will eat the good of the land. In other words, God can send you forth to do the great mighty works for him. You have to understand tonight that this is very serious. This is a step that we have to go into and accomplish if we are going to be the servants of the Most High God that go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles. The body of Christ must pull down the high places that exalt themselves against the word of God. That's why we need to sanctify ourselves so we can pull down the high places. Sanctification is growing in holiness. Sanctification is growing in holiness. We must understand that God is getting us ready for the presence of the Lord. How many of you died just the very second you drew your last breath would stand before the God with a holy mind? You know, you have to think about, I don't know about you, but I think about this every second of every day. If I would die right now, would I truly go to heaven? I check myself over and over and over again. I would hate to spend 80 years of my life and go to hell. Are you understanding this? And it's only you that can keep yourself holy. Nobody else can do that for you. It's only you that can sanctify yourself. Nobody else can do that for you either. And it's only you that's going to take you to heaven or hell. You're not going to be able to blame anybody else. It's time. Where are we at? We must understand that God is getting us ready for the presence of the Lord. Sanctification will bring his presence, which in return will bring peace into the body of Christ. So if you're not walking in holiness, it's telling me there, then you're not sanctified, and therefore you have no peace. You see that? You're constantly tormented by the things of this world. But if you would get the holy mind and get sanctified, you would walk in peace and the enemy would have to leave you alone. What has God been trying to do to the body of Christ? Oh, I'm sorry. It is time we quit doing the devil's work against one another. Against one another. And it is time that we get this plate of the golden mitre over our forehead. Tonight, God is doing a perfect work in an imperfect people. He just said that, so I thought I'd tell you that. So, you know, you think, well, I'm all sanctified and I'm all this and that and the other and I'm ready. Well, God just said he's doing a perfect work in imperfect people. What has God been trying to do to the body of Christ? He has been trying to bring the church to the place where we will exercise our minds in holiness to such a point that the very second the enemy tries to bring a demonic thought to us, we can kick it right out. You know, I might not think about masturbation. I might not think about, you know, looking at pornography. But, you know, I might get angry. The devil might keep making me get angry. One sin is no different than another sin. So we constantly, every one of us, have to constantly keep our mind holy. You know, you might not do that, but you might cheat somebody in a bill or something. You don't have a holy mind when you do that kind of stuff. Are you hearing here? All right, I said, he has been trying to bring the church to the place where we will exercise our minds in holiness to such a point that the very second the enemy tries to bring a demonic thought to us, we can kick it right out. And I know I talk to too many people and they can't kick him out. He just comes and comes and comes and comes, doesn't he? And he just rattles around in your mind like he has a roadmap in there. Well, tonight, God wants to change all that. He wants us to get this down into our spirit, man. And he wants us to have a holy mind. All right, and the more the church says no to those unrighteous thoughts, the stronger the church becomes. Each one of us are part of the church. And if each one of us would work on sanctification and having a holy mind, we would be something that the enemy would not dare to touch. He wouldn't dare to come into this church because the fire of God would burn him up. All right? Don't blame somebody else because the glory isn't dropping in all of its fullness. Look to yourself. Look to your mind. What is it you're not doing that God's calling you to do? And if each one of us would do that, and then we would do whatever God's telling us to do, then here we are. We're all working on this holy mind. God could just use us like a big fireball. All right? God has been trying to bring the church to a breaking in our minds, right here in our minds. He's been trying for years to work on our minds, and we have not allowed him to finish the work. Come on. I'm just hearing God saying there's too many self-righteous people sitting in the house of God, judging, thinking they're all right and they're not. You know, I'm just hearing God say it's better to be too hard on yourself than not hard enough. I'm hearing him say you can never overcompensate checking yourself out. Am I doing right, God? Am I hearing your voice today? Am I following your orders? Am I obeying each and every word you're telling me to do? We know, is that where I'm at? No. And every time the church says no to the unrighteous thoughts, it is saying yes to love. So is that why we can't walk the love walk? Is that why we can't love the unlovable? So I said, and every time the church says no to the unrighteous thoughts, it is saying yes to love. So every time you're judging somebody in your mind and you keep judging, then you're not saying no to that thought. And your mind is not pure and holy, so you're not saying yes to love, and you can't love that person. We know without a shadow of a doubt that God has been trying to bring his body of Christ to a new level in righteousness. If you don't know that, well, then we'll get a pin and stick you to save your life. All right? We know without a shadow of a doubt that God has been trying to bring his body of Christ to a new level in righteousness. And there will come a time when unrighteous thoughts will have no place. Are you listening here? There will come a time. But see, the problem is we've been wandering in the wilderness for 10 years. And that time should already have been here. The Lord has called us to go forth and bring down Goliath. Do you know where David put that stone? Right, little Gabriel brought a great big rock, and he said he put it right between his eyes. He didn't know it was a little stone, not quite as big as a rock. It could have been that big. I don't know. It's a shiny stone. All right, do you know who Goliath is? Goliath is uncontrolled thoughts and unholy thoughts. Uncontrolled thoughts and unholy thoughts. The high places are still dominated by our thoughts. And when we put that stone right there, you know, in your forehead, and we write holy unto the Lord over our forehead, maybe that's what you ought to do, get a little sticky tape or something, and write holy unto the Lord and stick it on your forehead whenever you're home. Every time you look in the mirror, you're going to see that, and you, oh, I got to get holy thoughts here. Right? We used to do that kind of stuff when I was first saved. I had sticky notes everywhere under my shoes, near every place. We're the king's kids. We're stepping all over the devil and all that kind of stuff. And funny, I said, this doesn't even work, and we're not doing this. We're just doing things. It has no power in it. So let's get power and let's get authority. All right, the high place. I'm going to read this again. The high places are still dominated by our thoughts. And when we put that stone right there in our forehead, and we write holy unto the Lord over our forehead, we begin a new movement. We are sanctifying the thoughts. I'm hoping that each one of you are listening to what you're hearing. And from this night forward, you're going to start putting this into operation. God has been calling us to a sanctification on a level that we have not known before. And it is time that we get this plate of the golden mitre over our forehead, which is righteous thoughts, which is the principle of Jubilee. God has spoken that this is our year of Jubilee. Every year, I said, God, every year you said it. And he says, well, every person's Jubilee is whenever they believe it. So are you believing tonight that this is a year you're going to have a holy mind? You know, I hope you're not going to wait for another week. If you wait another year, you're gone. You listen to what I'm saying. God has spoken that this is our year of Jubilee. Therefore, we must get our thought life cleaned up. Do you want the overshadowing that Peter had? Y'all say you do. When he walked by somebody, the disease left her body. There was something that came out of Peter, and when it came out, disease left. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we should desire, just like Peter had. I walk by some people and nothing good comes out of them. You can feel the evil around about them. You can feel the evil coming out and you know, trying to attach itself to you. Why is this? Because their minds are not holy. They're unrighteous. They're not sanctified. And if you notice lately, there's a lot of Jezebels in the house of God. And God said they were in the house of God. And these Jezebels are trying to make you believe that they're right and you're wrong. I know when you do deliverance, you know, these people want you to prophesy over them. And why would you want to do that? You're prophesying to the devil, you dummies. We shouldn't have any desire to prophesy when you're doing deliverance. You're trying to get that devil out, and he's trying to entertain you. He wants to make you prideful. Are you listening here? Why do you do this? Because your mind is not holy, and the enemy can come in there and twist your mind. All right, there is a new wind that is blowing. This wind is a wind of change. This wind is also going to suddenly blow you into place. I hope it happens tonight. This wind is blowing out evil and corruption. This wind is bringing down the wickedness of the land. And this wind I'm talking about is the wind in this. It's in you. God wants to blow over you. And he wants to blow everything that's in you that's not of him out of you. He wants to clear your mind of all the junk that you've had stored there for year after year after year. He wants you to know that you're a strong tower that others can run into. But the only way they can do that is if you allow him to blow that wind of change over you and get your mind right. How many of you lately you've had to say, mind straighten up? Thoughts that you've never even thought before have come to your mind. And where are these things? Well, we know, you say, I know where these things are coming from, devil, and I'm not going to receive them. You don't have control of my mind. My mind is a mind of Christ, and you can't touch it. Are you listening here? And this is what you have to do. I have to do that all the time. The higher your calling is in your life, the more the enemy's going to work on your mind. Because if he can get your mind, then he has you totally and completely. All right? God is blowing in many places, and God prophesied through Bishop Bill Hammond that we would begin to see state by state fall. And we're seeing that right now. The gold God has been showing means purity. He is talking about a pure mind. In Psalm 18, 26, it says, to the pure, he shows himself pure. You wonder why God doesn't show himself to you? Is your mind pure? Do you have pure thoughts? Are you righteous? Are you working on becoming totally holy as Christ is holy? You need to really think of all this stuff. You can't let any of it slip by. You have to be a fruit inspector of your own fruit. And you can't just sort of shove off a little thumping. You have to inspect every piece of fruit from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Are you listening? All right. I said in these last days, and in these last days, the pure are going to become purer. The righteous are going to become more righteous, and the wicked are going to become more wicked. And we're seeing that. There is no longer a middle ground. Never has been. But still the body of Christ thinks there is, and there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground where we have been straddling the fence between righteousness and wickedness. That fence has been long gone. You know, it's only the grace of God that some of you are still surviving. Right? Because you and I both know that it wouldn't be for God's grace. He could have wiped us out a long time ago. Even maybe yesterday. Maybe even this morning. Why? Because your mind isn't pure. It's not holy. You just let the enemy just run roughshod in your mind. Do whatever he wants to do there. There is no longer a middle ground where we have been straddling the fence between righteousness and wickedness. That fence is gone. It is like righteousness now or just totally wicked. I'm reading more and more where people are saying who've been drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever. God just instantly is, they're not even seeking God, and instantly they're being, you know, that junk's all being ripped out of them, and all of a sudden they're out there preaching, they have churches. They're standing amazed at how God just supernaturally cleaned them up without them wanting it and put the word in them and the anointing upon them, and they're out there preaching the word. God said he was going to let the church sit, and he was going to go to the world, and God is doing that right now. Have you lost your mantle? Each of you have to ask yourself, have I lost my mantle? And don't be like a baby when you go to it and bawl and squall and kick the floor. Go as a strong tower and step before the Father and say, Father, are you finished with me? Have I lost my mantle? And then have the courage to listen to what God is saying to you. A pure mind, holy mind will do that. And they'll be able to receive whatever it is God is telling them. The Lord has been taking all the old nature root system out of us, and he is leaving his nature in us. At least that's what he's been trying to do. I mean, you know, there's so many churches with the same anointing we have, but I'm just talking about this church because this is the one I minister in. God has been so good to us. And he's come to you over and over and over again with his grace, and he's given you another chance. And today, as I was studying, all of a sudden it came to me about Samson. You know, he thought he could keep on sinning and he'd just get up and shake himself and everything was all right. But one day it was not all right. He had lost his anointing. And God said, that's going to be happening in the body of Christ. You're going to be sitting there doing your same thing and sinning. And you're going to, because God hasn't put his thumb on you really hard, you're going to think you can keep on doing that. But it'll be done. And like Samson, the only time God restored his strength back to him is when he died. Now, do you want to be like Samson? Do you want to keep sinning and have an unholy mind? And all of a sudden, one day when you shake yourself, nothing's there. Only you can change your life. God can't even change it unless you ask him to. Only you can do that. All right. God is after a harvest. That harvest is, number one, those who will mature in righteousness. And number two, those who are coming forth in that pure mind that will be open to the Lord and will be directed by him. So let's read that again. He is after harvest. And then harvest is, number one, those who will mature in righteousness. Number two, those who are coming forth in that pure mind that will be open to the Lord and will be directed by him. If the church does not reveal the Holy Spirit, then the new age and all this other stuff is going to reveal the evil spirit. And that's what's happened in the earth already. That is going on in the house of God. Amen. You know, it amazed me. I had Brother Chris look up how many people of you people read my daily word. 12% of you do. That shocked me. I sit and I take time and I say, God, I need a word for the people today. What do you want to say to them? 12% look at it. The rest, let it slide on by. That tells me you're not truly wanting to move forward in God. Every word God ever gives is a good word. Some are, you better get it right. A lot of them are encouraging words. But this church doesn't read them. So my feelings that I was in, I said, God, I'm not even going to, and I haven't. I said, I'm not even going to sit down and listen for a word for you. And I haven't for 2 days. But I will sit and listen because, no, let's just put it this way. When God wants to say something, he just starts to go down. I want to say something to you. He doesn't care for what I say because he knows I'll do his will. All right, where am I at? There is no middle ground. People are going one way or the other. There are so many walking in self-deception. They have actually deceived themselves into believing they are okay when in fact they are not. I'm going to tell y'all something. You know, if I know that you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, if God has revealed it to me, I'll talk to you about that thing and I'll just act like it's somebody else doing it. And you just get all sanctified and, you know, and, oh, how could he ever do that? And I'm thinking, just like the guy, the prophet told David, you are the person. And they never admit that they're the one doing the wrong. They always pretend like it's somebody else. But at least I'm hoping I got your attention. And you stop and think about what I said, God, show me about somebody. And that somebody was you. I'm not you, Nancy. That somebody was you. And I thank God. And they act like they're so holy. But yet this is still in them. I want you to really stop and think, because if you notice, God's not getting loud tonight. He's very serious. It's his still small voice, and I would take heed to his still small voice, because when he gets quiet, he means business. Little Isaiah said, every time you raise your voice, I know I need to sit up and take notice. But as long as I'm quiet, he doesn't take notice. But I'm telling you, when God talks quietly, you better start taking notice to what he's saying. All right? Now, I warned you. All right, we are all being challenged to come forth and let the Holy Spirit move through our lives. Why? So we can touch the multitudes. We need to understand that there is coming a harvest like we have never seen before. And God's been telling us over. I've been reading it over and over again. I'm saying I'm really tired of reading about it. We need to see it. And we're never going to see it in the state that we're in. And I'm sad at that. I don't want to be like the prophets of old. They knew God was saying something was going to happen, but they never lived to see it because the people didn't straighten up soon enough. You know what I'm saying? I want to live to see this great harvest, don't you? All right, God is getting us cleaned up for this divine purpose. We need to be sealed. We need to be circumcised in our thought life. When you are circumcised in heart, you're really tender to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When you allow God to circumcise your heart, you'll just know when the Spirit of God is there. You'll know when God is speaking. You're really tender because you want to hear his voice, because he's the lover of your soul, is he not? And I don't know about you, but I love it when God talks to me. I love it when I just feel his presence. And, you know, sometimes when people are talking to me and they want to hear from God and God's not answering, after I go through talking to them, I say, God, did I do something wrong? That you didn't talk through me to them? I get a little bit concerned, not upset, but concerned. Why didn't you use me to say something to them like you usually always do? And if that's happening, you need to start being concerned. Are you in the right place with God? Are you doing everything God's telling you to do? All right. All right. So you're a leader. So you're a pastor, you're an evangelist, whatever you are. Where are you leading the people to? Are you leading them down that slippery slope to hell? Or are you leading them to Christ? We also need to seal the Holy Spirit in our hearts. God wants to breathe upon us. There is life in his breath. There's also death in his breath. When he breathes on you, you are going to die to your wickedness. If I was you, I'd say, God, just slobber all over me. Kill this wickedness in me. I'm serious. All right, I said, when he breathes on you, you're going to die to your wickedness. Those tares are going to come out, and they're going to burn, and righteousness and purity will begin to bloom in your heart, and you will come forth on a new level. When are you going? Why don't you just lay in your bed and say, God, I heard what you said tonight. Please breathe upon me. Please make me that holy person that I need to be for you to use me to bring in the harvest. Don't lay in your bed and say, oh, God, look what my husband's doing to me. And all that kind of junk that you do. You need to quit worrying about that kind of stuff, and you just need to be concerned about what God is doing to you. If you're going to be a vessel of honor, that's what you're going to have to do. All right, we are in a new time, and we are in a new season. We're in a new era, God has told us. Jubilee means that the enemy is going to lose his grip of sin on sin and bondage in your life. Jubilee means that the enemy is going to lose his grip on sin and bondage. In reality, what God has been doing with you is bringing you to a place to where you can begin to own your sins and repent of them by saying no to them and burn them up so you can go on with righteousness where the mind becomes clear. We're going to say that again. In reality, what God has been doing with you is bringing you to a place to where you can begin to own your sins and repent of them by saying no to them and burn them up so you can go on with righteousness where the mind becomes clear. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how the land of promise was always occupied by corruption and enemies of God? Every time God said, I'm taking you into the promised land, the enemy was always waiting on you, wasn't he? The same is true now, guys. God is saying, I'm going to use you in signs, wonders, and miracles. The enemy's right there waiting, and he's confronting you. He's going to try to stop you. Do you not understand that precept? That's why you're going through all the mess you're going through, is because the enemy's trying to stop you from entering into the promises that God has given to you. Right now, the church is emerging from an overlap of seasons into a release of power. When the church agrees with heaven, what is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. Saints, it is finished every place, but right there in your forehead, in your mind. Everything else is finished. When you get that mind holy, you're going to see a different you. And you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm not saying in other people, I'm in your own life. You look at yourself and say, I can't believe who I am today. I wasn't this person yesterday, but look what God has done to me, for me, and through me. It is finished with the enemy, and the only power the enemy has is the power that we give him. It is finished with the enemy, because God's been telling me that about myself over and over and over again. And the only power the enemy has is the power that we give him. And I'm just going to make myself a little recording, because I constantly say, it is finished. You have no power over me. The power of God resides within me. And devil, you've got to go. You can't linger around and harass me, because God said so. And when God says so, he has to go. When we pull his, the devil's thoughts down, he has no power. He is a defeated foe. Nancy, do you remember what that thing Tina sent said? This is so neat. I was going to bring with me and I forgot it. I want you to hear this tonight. See what that says? Satan doesn't own anything. He doesn't even own the hell he's assigned to. Stop giving him ownership over things in your life. We're going to put that in this Sunday's bulletin, aren't we? Leave it up there. I want you to read that to yourself. He doesn't even own the property that he's working on. That's his assignment, and that's where he's abiding. God owns everything, including hell. If you can get that into your spirit and believe it, I'm going to tell you, you will grow by leaps and bounds overnight. Your marriage is bad because you don't try to fix it. Well, that's what you do. You try to fix it. You don't really fix it. You don't work at it. Well, we talked for a half hour. Whoop. Took you 20 years to get to the mess you're in. Maybe 5 years, maybe 3 years. You let the devil have full rule and reign over it. Now all of a sudden, bloop, you want the devil to go and leave you alone. You nasty little thing, get out of my marriage. Now I've decided I'm going to be a husband or a wife or whatever you decide to be. It doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't. Years ago, when I was first born again, not in the ministry of any type, my family was having a fit in my kitchen. And God said to me, daughter, throw the enemy out of your house right now. If you don't, he'll always be in your house. I looked around at my family. They already thought I'd lost my mind. and I didn't kick him out. And he's never left. And I can't get him out. I disobeyed God. So I really can't moan and groan and complain about what I'm going through. Because God said, kick him out now, because if you don't, he'll never leave. It didn't matter what their faces looked like. It didn't matter what they thought about me, because he always thought I was nuts anyhow. But I let what they might say about me interfere with what God was telling me to do. My first marriage, when I was walking down the aisle, I didn't know anything about God then, you know, about his voice. I knew God, but didn't know about his voice. I heard her voice say, do not walk down that aisle. I don't want you to marry this man. I didn't know where that came from. I walked down that aisle. I married that man. That was disobedience, right? And rebellion. I had three girls that are disobedient and rebellious. And I have grandchildren the same way. I have great-grandchildren the same way. Whose fault is that? Mine. In ignorance, I didn't know it was the voice of God, but still I did it. Are you listening? We complain about things that we have caused in our own lives that God had no control over because he told you what to do and you became disobedient. Come on. People say to me, you shouldn't have to live like that. Well, no, if I would listen to God, I wouldn't be living like that. Quit blaming God for what you did. Start enjoying life. Take the licks. If you got to take the licks and keep right on going. God will see you through it. He really will. There's a lost world out there that doesn't know about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And God is relying on you people, you know, the church, to get out there and tell them the truth. But your mind has to be holy. You have to be sanctified and you have to be righteous in order to go out there. Do you know how many people would not tell you what I just told you? Because after all, nobody wants to hear that a pastor disobeyed God. Well, I did. And you need to know when you disobey God, there's a price to pay. And God told me one day there's a price to pay for everything, every sin that you do. You will one day pay for that sin, one way or the other. You will. When you're living, not when you're dead. So why not start tonight? Get a holy mind. Become sanctified. Walk in righteousness. And go ahead and serve God. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Do you realize that I preached for 40 years. And then God said to me one day, he said, daughter, he said, whatever a person had when I pulled him into the ministry, they will die with. And when I got born again, I had cancer. And the cancer came back into my body. And I really should be gone. But I was like the king who turned his back to the wall and cried out to God and said, I have two little boys that need me. Let me live. And God has. The junk is still there, but God has promised me that I'm healed. And I walk in that. And by rights, I shouldn't be able to stand with what's going on in my body, but I do because God has given me a promise. Are you listening here? You guys don't even know what it is to fight. You really don't. You don't know what it is to pay the price. Do they skip? Skip hurts so bad he can't even hardly get dressed to come to church, but he does. He's like me. He's believing God for the miracle. Come on. I don't know where I'm at. Oh, okay, you can take that down. Where are we at? When the church wakes up. When the church wakes up and says, no, that is it. You're not taking me any further. Talking to the devil. Then and only then is it finished. Let's say that again. When the church wakes up and says, no, that's it, devil. You're not taking me any further. Then and only then is it finished. When was Jesus' works finished? on the cross when he said, "It is finished." He sanctified himself for us. He finished his race. And that's when it was finished. The enemy has released demonic forces to withstand the church, but God has released the Holy Spirit. Now we must use him, the Holy Spirit, as an arsenal to bring down every adversary, every enemy and hindrance that would keep the promise from coming into fruition and being manifested in our life. And I'm going to tell you, the more holy you become, the more you speak the truth to set others free, the more your very own friends will turn against you. I want you to understand this. They won't tell you why, but they just turn against you. But you keep on going because God never turns against you. God is always with you. No matter where you're at, no matter what rock you're under. Sometimes, don't you feel like you're under a rock? I do anyhow. But I know God says, wherever you're at, I'm there too. So I know God's there with me. And God never promised me a rose garden. He didn't promise you that either. He said, if you follow him, you'll suffer. So, you dummies, if you're following Satan, you're suffering too. He just, you know it now. When you die, then you'll understand you were suffering all along. Right? Where's your mind at tonight? Is it holy? Is it sanctified? Have you really allowed God to have your mind? Here's my will, Father. You can have my will. No, your mind's still messed up. So he doesn't have your will. He doesn't have your will, your total will, until your mind is sanctified. Now, you can either take the truth of God's word and change your life, or you can say, well, that wasn't God and that wasn't meant for me. Well, if you're sitting here tonight, it was meant for you. If you really ever watch a service and then listen to the message, you can tell that who God sent in there because they needed to hear that message. It might be one person, and God will throw that whole message out for one person. Now, if that one person will realize it was for them, and they usually do, and then they take it to the heart and they start applying it and change, God does the rest. He resurrects. The altar's open tonight, but God wants you to sit still for a minute. You run to the altar too many times and don't really apply what he's doing to you. This is very important tonight. He really wants to anoint your mind so that it will start becoming holy and the enemy will have no place in it. So when he comes, all you need to say, no, no. My mind was sanctified Sunday night, December the 13th, is it? At, what is it, 8:25? And Satan, you have no place in my mind. My mind belongs to Christ and Christ only. Now, if you really want to become that serious with God, then the altar's open. And you will receive exactly what you're asking for.